Hello, my friends, and welcome to the Tuesday broadcast. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett with Hickory Ridge Community Church. I'm so glad you're joining us today, and I hope that these broadcasts, Hope for Your Heart, actually encourages you. You know, just about every day I get a text from one of our church members, and I have one member in particular that will send me a text, and based upon the day of that text, she will say something like, "Hey, it's Monday, marvelous Monday," or "It's Tuesday, tremendous Tuesday," or "It's Wednesday, wonderful Wednesday," or "It's terrific Thursday," or "Fantastic Friday." And as you think about that, today is Tuesday, and I hope that Tuesday is a terrific day for you. And every day that we are given an opportunity to serve the Lord is a terrific day. We have another opportunity to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We have another opportunity today to fulfill the purpose that God has for our lives. And what a joy that is to know that God has given us a new day. Every time you have a new day, there's a new opportunity to do it over again. To start all over again. Yesterday is history, tomorrow is in the future, but today is the day that the Lord hath made, so let us rejoice and be glad in it. We are going through a series on marriage. And I tell you what, this has been so much fun talking about marriage. You know, the most important human relationship that you have is with your spouse. So it is worth putting a lot of effort into making your marriage successful. Dennis Rainey said this about marriage oneness. Oneness in marriage involves complete unity with each other. It's more than a mere mingling of two humans. It is a tender merger of body, soul, and spirit. So yesterday we began talking about the ABCs to a marriage that starts off sweet. Sweet beginnings, right? Start strong in your marriage so that you can finish strong in your marriage. And we said, first of all, that if we're going to have a solid marriage, we're going to have to accept responsibility for things that are on our part. We learned from Galatians 6:5 that we should each of us carry our own burdens, be responsible for ourselves. So we said, you got to get over having a pity party for yourself or a pity party for your marriage. Listen, every marriage that is a strong marriage is a marriage that has constantly been worked at. When you think about happiness, you will be as happy as you choose to be. The grass is not greener on the other side of the fence. The grass is greener wherever you water it and fertilize it. You see, the biggest barrier to accepting responsibility for marriage is this myth of incapability. We've all heard people say this, "Well, I'm incompatible." It's just an excuse, right? I cannot get along with somebody. As a matter of fact, there's really no such word as incompatible. It doesn't even exist. It is actually a made-up word. Dr. Paul Turner, the Swiss psychiatrist who wrote Understanding Each Other, said, "The so-called incompatibility is a myth invented by judges in order to make a plea for divorce." It's like a common excuse for people to hide their failings. Their misunderstandings and their mistakes can be corrected if there's a willingness to do so. So I want you to know, as you are working on your marriage, don't go down that path that we're just incompatible. You have the opportunity to make a choice in your marriage. You know, when you think about love, love is not a feeling. Love is a choice. You can decide to love anybody. You make that choice. So make that choice not to be immature, not to be stubborn, not to be selfish. That's where really incompatibility is. Is saying, "I'm immature. I want my way. I want things to go the way I want them to go. I don't want to grow up. I don't want to take responsibility." Don't try to solve all these issues at once. Solve them from the easiest problem to the more difficult problem. So we learned, first of all, that if we're going to have a successful marriage, we must accept responsibility for ourselves. And then letter B, and I know I'm speaking to mostly Christians, so this one should be a no-brainer, right? Letter B is believe God can change my marriage. Matthew 19:26. You may feel this way, right? Humanly speaking, it is impossible. I had a guy just tell me that not too long ago. He says, "My marriage, it's impossible." I said, "No, it is possible. With God, everything is possible." I had a different guy tell me, "Not even God can fix my marriage problems." I said, "Are you kidding me?" We teach our kids this song. "My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do." I want you to know, it doesn't matter how difficult your marriage is, If you are willing to fervently seek God's face and believe that God can change your marriage, I think you ought to trust Him to do it. And I know the old saying is this, it takes two to make a marriage, one to break a marriage. I get that. But if you're a husband listening to me, I hope that you will take the leadership within your marriage. I believe after all my years of counseling couples, and I've been counseling couples for over 30 years, the majority of marriages fall apart, not because the wife is not willing to work on it. Now, occasionally that happens, maybe 1% of the time, but generally it's the man who has checked out, the man who's thrown up his hands and said, I don't want to deal with this anymore. I'm out of here. Now, I want to share a passage of scripture. I'm going to read 7 verses from 1 Peter chapter 3. And I'm going to offer some comment on these verses, but believe that God can change your marriage. 1 Peter 3:1. Wives, now I'm going to the ladies, they're going to be upset about this, right? So hang in there, ladies, okay? Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their husbands, or their wives, rather. When they see the purity and the reverence in your lives, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Remember, it should be that inner self, that unfading beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit, which is of greater worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to adorn themselves. They submitted themselves to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. You are her daughters if you do what is right and you do not give way to fear. All right, now the ladies didn't like those first several verses. Husbands won't like this next verse. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. This is what John Piper says about this particular passage in the Exhortation of Holy Women. The deepest root of Christian womanhood mentioned in this text is hope in God. Holy women who hoped in God. A Christian woman does not put her hope in her husband or in getting a husband. She does not put her hope in her looks. She puts her hope in the promises of God. She is described in Proverbs 31:25, with strength and dignity as her clothing. She laughs in the time to come. She laughs at everything the future will bring and might bring because she hopes in God. Here is my hope for you. Put your confidence in God that He can bring about the miraculous in your marriage. I serve a God that does the impossible. I serve a God that is a miracle-making God. I have seen Him turn marriages around. I have talked to couples that and in the back of my head, I said, there's no hope for this couple. It is too far gone. There's too much damage. There's too much hurt. There's too much resentment. There's too much unforgiveness. And I would challenge them, would you pray fervently for 7 days as husband and wife in the morning and in the evening? When you get up together, pray together. Before you go to bed at night, pray together and ask God to bring healing. Don't spend a whole lot of time fixing each other. Just ask the good Lord to bring healing to your marriage. Now, I know this is very cliche-ish to say that couples that pray together stay together, but I want you to know my wife and I for a long time have begun our days with prayer. Before she leaves or before I leave every morning, we spend just a few minutes praying that God will protect our marriage. We pray for our kids. We pray for our church. We pray for the leaders within our church. We pray for a whole lot of things as a couple pray together. We also serve together. We lead a small group together and we lead Bible studies together. And there's such a joy in doing that. I want you to know that if you want a strong marriage, you've got to accept responsibility for the brokenness that you have brought into your marriage. Letter B, you got to believe that God can change that marriage. And letter C, you got to commit to do whatever it takes. Galatians 6:9. Let us not get tired of doing what is right. For after a while, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't get discouraged and give up. You see, great marriages don't just happen. You know, if your marriage is going to get better, if your marriage is going to improve, you're going to be constantly working on that marriage. I have discovered that marriage is something that is a work, but it's a work that is well worth the effort. You see, it takes a whole lot of honesty. It takes a lot of unselfishness. It takes a willingness to admit when you're wrong. It takes a willingness to change. It takes persistence. It takes faith. More than anything else, it takes time. Great relationships come out of all of those things being applied over and over again over time. If your relationship is in trouble, if you're struggling right now, listen, it didn't get there overnight. It took a lot of time. And it's going to take time and a lot of time for it to begin to improve. You see, that's just the honest truth of human life. We think that we're in a bad relationship and it's not working. And if we don't take the time to work on that relationship, it will not stay together. Marriage is worth fighting for. You see, the truth is that it will cost you to have a great marriage. It will cost you much to have a marriage that is made in heaven. But it won't cost you as much as going through a divorce. Just ask anybody who's been through one, and they'll tell you. It is worth putting the effort into your marriage. Now, as you're going through life and you're going through this, dealing with whatever it takes to make your marriage work, put the energy in it. Put the emotion into it. Pray and obey together. You see, you pray and say, God, I don't have the energy to do it on my own. I need your strength. I need you to help me in my marriage. So you make this commitment to God, and as you do, you discover that you want to obey him. And as you obey him, you say, God, I know you have my best interest at heart. Would you help me do what you've shown me to do? Just one step at a time, one foot in front of the other, obeying you in this relationship. You know, you do the right thing, and as you're doing it for a long enough time, you're going to discover that you will begin to mature. See, last time we talked about this fact that feelings will always follow action. And so feel the right way about your spouse, and the actions will follow. Well, great marriages are those that are based upon accepting personal responsibility, believing that God can make change in me, committing to do whatever it takes, and letter D would be dealing with unresolved hurt. James 5:16 says this, admit your faults to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Now, let me give you a real practical example of this. Let's suppose you have an unbelieving spouse. You may need to ask their forgiveness for being self-righteous or for being too pushy. You may be one of those people who you want them to know God, and so you want them so badly to know God that maybe you push too hard. Peter taught us that our spouses would be won over by gentleness that we have for them, that the love of Christ permeating through us would actually bring about sanctification for them. So maybe you've been too pushy, right, with your spouse. I've discovered with my spouse that if I push her too hard, that's going to push her to resentment. I am to lovingly lead her. In 1 Corinthians 7:12, it says that we are to rest, I say, not the Lord, that if a brother has a wife who is an unbeliever and she consents to live with him, you must not divorce her. In other words, if you are married to an unbeliever and that unbeliever is happy to stay with you, don't find a reason for that divorce to take place. Verse 13 says, and if a woman who is an unbelieving woman and consents to live with her, she must not send her husband away. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified through her believing husband. For otherwise your children are unclean, but now they are holy. So we see a tremendous bonus here by staying together, even if your spouse is an unbeliever. This talking about this protection that your spouse receives because of you believing. I believe what Paul is trying to teach here is that as a believer, you're praying for your spouse and you're fervently believing that your spouse will be saved. And because of the way you are responding to them, they see Christ in you and they eventually get saved. And your children are also protected in that relationship. So as you think about this, I want to encourage you to be able to own up when you mess up. You see, there's three little words that we don't like to say in a relationship. In fact, they're very difficult words for any of us to say. These simple three words, I was wrong. Now, maybe you had an argument today with your spouse, and as you're driving home, you're reminded of this argument that you had today. When you get home today, I want to encourage you, when you see your spouse, say, hey, honey, It's so good to see you. I know we had a dispute this morning, and I want to let you know I was wrong. Your spouse will probably fall over a heart attack because she or he may have never heard that from you before, but what a way to build up a new beginning in a marriage. You know, your marriage will not make it without forgiveness on a daily basis. We are to forgive constantly. We are to forgive consistently. In Colossians 3:13, it says, "Be gentle and ready to forgive. Never hold grudges. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others." I was reading a survey not too long ago made by 200 married couples in regards to this matter of forgiveness. The researchers were wondering how one's ability to forgive others would affect their marital satisfaction and their personal well-being. Well, you know, the results were astounding. The research suggests that there is a huge relationship between marriage satisfaction and forgiveness. In fact, it appears as much as one-third of marriage satisfaction is related to forgiveness. Now, not only does the ability to forgive impact the marriage relationship, it significantly relates to personal and emotional distress. You see, forgiveness gives us this ability to go through and fight symptoms of depression, anxiety, and fatigue. So in the name of good mental health, I want to encourage you to be one who quickly forgives. You see, the results are powerful, and they suggest that all of the counselors in both secular and faith-based should include this development of the skill of forgiveness whenever they are counseling couples. I want you to know that Jesus talked about forgiveness 2,000 years ago. And as we forgive others, we receive forgiveness. So be a quick forgiver. What we've learned so far today, that we've got to accept responsibility in our marriage. We got to believe that God can change our marriage. We got to commit to do whatever it takes. We got to let her D, deal with unresolved hurt. And then letter E, we've got to enlist some godly help. Help from godly people. In Proverbs 19:20, it says, "Get all the advice that you can. Get all the instruction that you can." Proverbs 24:3 says, "It takes wisdom to have a good family, and it takes understanding to make it strong." You know, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. I promise you, God has placed somebody in your life that can help you navigate through the hurt of your marriage right now. God has got somebody in mind, and it may be somebody that is right in your church. It may be a counselor that is a local counselor. I want to recommend that you get some help. Don't wait till the relationship has become so fractured and has so much hurt and so much resentment. You know, the quicker you get some help from godly people, the quicker you can go down the path of healing. And no matter what the problem is, we have it here in the Hampton Roads area, a ministry called Christian Psychotherapy. I send a lot of couples over to Christian Psychotherapy to get the help that they need. And they have this opportunity to be across the board giving them the help that they need. You see, we're body, soul, and spirit. You know, a pastor can help you tremendously on the spiritual side. He can give you a good biblical counsel on how to have a godly marriage. But sometimes in a marriage, there's some other things that enter into that relationship. Sometimes there's issues of mental health and there's issues of addiction that enter into a relationship. And sometimes you got to get somebody that's more on the professional line to help you. But I want you to know it is worth every dime that you invest in getting help for your marriage. So enlist help from godly people. We're on letter F when we think about having a successful marriage. The letter F stands for focus on Jesus. This is probably the most important factor. When God brings a couple together, what God had joined together, let no man tear it asunder. In Hebrews 12:2, it says, we must focus on Jesus, the source and the goal of our faith. Somebody likened marriage to a three-legged stool. It takes three to make a marriage work: you, your spouse, and God. You see, a two-legged stool is going to fall over. It has no stability. It takes three. You see, God never meant for marriage just to be two. God meant for marriage to be three: you, your spouse, and God. You need to put Christ in the center of your life and at the center of your marriage. My advice is that you do whatever you can in harmony, and whenever there's hostility, get rid of that hostility. Wherever there's apathy, give it over to God. You see, the Bible says that God, who is at work within you, will give you the will and the power to achieve His purpose. You see, when you bring God into that relationship, I guess you could say it's even more than that third leg to the stool. It is a source of the power that you need to achieve the purpose that God has for your marriage. You may need to get some counseling. You may need to get some help with a small group. Oh, I want to encourage you. Sometimes people come to me and say, well, Pastor, what does the ideal church member look like? And I always say the ideal church member does three things every week. Number one is they go to worship every single week. You know, the Bible says we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, especially as we see the day approaching. What's that day approaching? The second coming of Christ. The closer we get to Christ's return, the more we need one another because the days are going to get darker and darker. So we need the support of one another more than ever. As we go to church and not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, we are gathered together to encourage people. You see, God wired us in such a way that we need encouragement and we need to give encouragement. It's a two-way street. So the first thing is that you go to church every week. Number two is a great Christian is one who is involved in a community of believers in a small group. Maybe it's a Sunday school class or some kind of environment where you're in a small group or a group of people, maybe like Celebrate Recovery, getting together with them on a weekly basis. You know, I think about small groups, and small groups are the biggest support system within the church. You know, we recently had one of our members who was in a car accident, and because of the coronavirus, we're kind of restricted in how we can minister to people. And I remember just following the text messages as they were coming through. And I'm thinking, well, I need to do something. But as I'm looking at all these text messages, they had already lined up meals for this individual. They had already been praying for this individual and already stopped by and social distance and let them know that they're praying for them. And I said, you know, this is neat. This is the small group in action. Their small group rallied around them during their time of need. Oh, if I had a desire for every Christian, I said you'd be at church once a week, every week. You'd be in a group once a week, every week. And number three, you'd be serving the Lord somewhere every week, whether that be on the praise team, whether that be in the nursery, whether that be working in an Elevate or sound systems or doing all kinds of other things, working in a food pantry. We have so many areas to minister in our church. And if everybody would have one ministry they were involved in, nobody would have to do three or four ministries. Everybody involved. You know, God has given us these spiritual gifts, and God wants us to use these gifts. You know why God gives us these gifts? So we can focus on Him, because He gave us these gifts. The body of Christ is likened to a physical body. A physical body, you have an arm and you have a leg and they have different responsibilities, but they're part of the body of Christ. So as you think about your marriage, focusing on Christ. You say, well, I just don't have a heart right now to focus on Christ. God says, I'll give you a new heart. I'll put a new spirit within you. Some of you are thinking, well, I married the wrong person at the wrong time in the wrong way. What should I do? Should I leave them or should I divorce them? God says, no. Now, you made a vow. So let's pray for a miracle makeover. Pray that God will change your heart. Change the heart of your partner. Pray that God will give your marriage a new dream, a new vision. Pray that God will work, and I know that He can. I was dealing with a couple not too long ago, and I thought for sure that it was over for this couple. And I didn't know what to do, and I'm frustrated because it didn't seem like either one of them wanted to budge. And I said, would you do me a favor? I said, would you do something for 7 days? Just do this for 7 days. And at the end of the 7 days, if we feel like we're getting nowhere, I says, I won't waste your time. You won't waste my time. You just go ahead and do your thing. And if you feel like you're going to get divorced, well, you know, I'm not a for it, but I'm not going to be able to stop it either. And I said, will you do something for 7 days and then get back to me? I said, for the next 7 days, will you pray together as a husband and wife? Would you act affectionate toward one another? I know you don't feel like it, but would you pretend that you love each other for the next 7 days? And every day for the next 7 days, do something to support your spouse. I gave him that book, The Five Love Languages, and I says, for the next 7 days, you're going to find the love language of your spouse, and you're going to feed into that love language one day a week for the next 7 days. You know, after 7 days, they called me back, and they says, you're not going to believe this, but we have fallen in love with each other all over again. You know, Ezekiel 11:19 says, I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit in you. Paul reminded the Philippian believers that God who began a good work in you will complete it, and he will achieve it by the power of God's purpose. You see, God can do the supernatural in your marriage. God has a way of taking broken things and putting them back together. God can take a mess and turn it into a message. God can take a tremendous test and turn it into a testimony. Will you trust him with your marriage today? Pray with your spouse today. Pray for your spouse today. And treat her like a queen or treat him like a king. God bless you for listening today.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We would love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.